Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Tackle Shop Live. WB Jones, how are you, buddy? Young and pretty, was it just Sam and Sam's in the house. The next day, you called me up. What's up, everybody? That's Weimer. You came over and you fell into my YouTube arms. User, I got you. How are you doing, brother? Well, I know what I feel. DP, please, what's happening? Breeze is fire. Mike Hayer's here. How you doing? Robert Donahue, how you doing, Robert? Tiny Fishing, yeah, baby. Nick Wink is in the house. You better believe it. Cameraman Nick is here. You better believe it. What's up, Larry? How's everything? Joseph Cascarino's here. John Pennington. Larry Shope. Vince Torpe. Ray Cruz. What is happening? Man, we got a great show for you guys tonight. Cameraman Nick's back. He was feeling under the weather last week.
Yeah, you got to be back, right, Mike?
That's right, pal. You're having it. Jack Hinkle's here. Tammy, what do you say? Cayuga Tammy's here. All right. Beautiful. Tim McSee, how are you? Danny Pouse, Robert Mills, Jim Sabin, Kenny Klemmer. What's up, Kenny? Randall Miller's here. Yeah, baby. Man, oh, man. Good to see everybody again for another great edition of Tackle Shop Live. We are here every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. My name is Mike Acord. This is George Acord. Behind the camera is cameraman Nick. And we have a great show for you here every Thursday night. And, man, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got some great tackle talk, some good tournament talk, of course, as always. But first, we are on the eve of something special. The eve of something special, that's right. The SummerSlam tournament entry starts tomorrow. Friday, April the 19th, is the start of the entry for the SummerSlam tournament that we put on every year. And this year, we are heading back to the Upper Bay. And we're going to fish out of Anchor Marine, as always. And we are starting the sign up tomorrow. Fired up about
it. Yes, sir. We're going to do... We're going to actually have a cutoff this year at 200 boats.
Yep.
Due to parking. You know, 200 is going to be our max that we can fit on the property. So, you know, get in early.
Yep.
Lock your spot down. And payout, of course, is going to increase because of the 200 boats. And it's already the richest team tournament on the Chesapeake. And... you know what they say, the rich get richer.
Yep. So there you have it. We are going to start sign up for that for you guys that never heard of it before. It is one of the greatest tournaments ever. And the entry fee is very unique. Unlike all other tournaments where you pay a cash entry fee. And if you don't catch any fish, you lose that cash. We do it a little different around here. Ours is a purchase of our sponsors, Tackle, that is G. Loomis, Shimano, Jackal, and Power Pro. Those four companies, if you come to the shop or go online, you got to purchase $250 of those products per boat. So that's, you could split it up between you and your partner, and that is your entry fee. So essentially, if you have a bad day, like we all do, like I had a couple weeks ago on local lake here, you don't lose the money. You get to keep your equipment, and that is your entry fee, and you get to fish out for the rest of your life or as long as you have it. And it is very unique, and our idea behind that is we want all kinds of new fishermen. We want new anglers to the sport of tournament fishing. We want to introduce you to tournament fishing, and we want you to feel like you're not a donator, you know, like like you feel like a lot of guys won't fish them because they feel like they can't do well, and they don't want to waste their money. However, what you'll find out is that when you do it this way, you are a winner no matter what. But number two, you would not believe how many newbies, first-timers, go down there and fish that tournament and whack them and end up cashing checks, becoming, you know, one of the guys who gets the, what is that, top 25, top 20, even top 10. We've had guys that never fished there before, never fished a tournament, end up in the top five. Yeah. So you never know, it'll allow you to get into tournament fishing, see what it's all about, see what the excitement is all about, and experience what the pros do on TV that you watch, and you can have it for yourself. It's extremely a lot of fun. So we got a lot of giveaways we're going to give away there. We're hoping to do a nice tackle toss for you guys, which is pretty famous down there, and it's an overall good time. We have a great weigh-in. We have a great weigh-in crew. And we are looking forward to getting as many people as we can down there. But, like George said, there is a 200-boat cutoff, so get in, get early, get your stuff. And you can buy, purchase in the shop here and get your application, or you can go online, download the application, and sign up through the website with a purchase on the website of those four companies, and then that is your entry fee. So, yeah, let's do it. So we are on the eve of that, Nick. What do you think?
Well, some other great perks about that tournament are we always make a lot of people famous because yes. We go around live. Somebody has a tendency to like hop on their boat and, you know, do interviews. And then the cool thing, too, is if you get fortunate enough to win the tournament, you get to come to Tackle Shop Live.
That's right.
And tell us all about it.
That's right. We will definitely make you famous if you win. You're going to get on the show, and you're going to hopefully tell us what was the trick and keys to winning that tournament and how you became champion of one of the greatest tournaments of the year down on the Upper Bay.
Of all time. Now, I will say this also. Where the tournament is being held, for those of you who have never fished it and are familiar with the area, is the Chesapeake Bay. The top end of the Chesapeake Bay, the upper Chesapeake Bay, all the locals call it the Upper Bay. And it's a famous fishery for good reason. It has a tremendous population of big fish. And we are staging this tournament at the absolute prime time. So, you know, the potential for the Dirty 30 is there.
Mm-hmm.
The potential for you can't even cash a check with less than 20 pounds is real.
Yeah.
The potential for 8 and 9 pound fish is very real. And so it's a fun event. It's designed to cater to the very novice beginner as well as the seasoned professional. It's professionally run. Our weigh-in services are handled by a group called the Chester County Bassmasters who do a bunch of these tournaments, and they're pro-level weigh-in. That is actually, to me, you know, that part of the experience of the tournament is key. You know, when you come in, everything is smooth sailing. The weigh-in is done right. And it's just the cherry on top.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. You know, and it's a great experience. So we want to see you there. We're going to get 200 boats in all likelihood. And we want to see you there. We want you to join us. We're going to be handing out swag bags to every boat, pretty sweet swag bags to every boat.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the world famous tackle toss where we make it rain thousands of dollars of tackle while the tournament crew is tabulating the results. We have a little diversion for you where we make it rain.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fun.
We have a good event planned for you. We're really looking forward to it, and we hope you join us. Any questions, you can reach us here at the shop. And guess what? We're 1 month out.
Yeah.
Right on.
1 month out, ready to go for it. Very, very exciting. So, also, if you guys could, why don't you like and share this show tonight, and share it with your friends, tell your friends about it. That would help us out a lot. And you can comment on these platforms also. And then also join us on our TikTok and Instagram. You can go there, see different content. If you go to our website, make sure you sign up for our emails, because we do special emailers to those guys that get on there, and they're the first to know about hot products that are coming out, and also any special deals we got going on. You'll be informed through the emails. Okay, well, let's get this show on the road. We'd like to call this section Tackle Talk. Yeah. Well,
bring it in, Nick.
We got one of the biggest tackle boxes around, and we love to mess around with tackle and love to talk about tackle. George, what do you have new and exciting for us?
Well, you know, we have some interesting stuff tonight. We have terminal tackle all the ways up to some beautiful rods. We're going to break them down. We're going to discuss it a little bit. Get your guys' opinions on a few things. You know, got a couple rigs I want to kind of mix in there too. So we're going to do it a little different this week.
Yeah.
All right.
Beautiful.
So let's start off with some baits we've been talking about a little bit, and I want to kind of reiterate. So one of our favorite brands, of course, is Reaction Innovations.
Love these guys.
We love their products, right? I mean, let's not get it misunderstood here. Or as kids say, Nick, let's not get it twisted. So the creature bait category, like the Sweet Beaver, they invented it, right? I can't say they invented the boot foot swim bait, but they might as well have, because they were the first to market with this. The Little Dipper, actually the Skinny Dipper.
That was the first one, right?
These guys just push the envelope on colors. They are often imitated.
What's the saying? Often imitated, never duplicated?
Seldom duplicated.
Seldom duplicated?
No, they're often imitated, okay? You know, they set the mark with the Sweet Beaver. They set the mark with the Smallie Beaver. You know, a lot of people in the industry thought that they were a little perverted. You know, not the case, actually.
Yeah.
Sweet Beaver was created after Andre's win at Beaver Lake.
Yep.
Smallie Beaver after Andre's win at Beaver Lake the next year.
Yep.
They do have some interesting color names, though.
You know, the thing about them, George, their colors are so consistent. Did you ever notice that?
I mean, they
are always the same, and consistency is,
well,
some of the best.
Let me explain to you. They shoot their own products.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you have total control when you make your own products. A lot of companies have their products made by other companies, which is not to say that's a bad thing.
Right.
You know, if you're a big company and you're a major account of a company that, you know, specializes in injecting plastic, first of all, they're really good at what they do. Second of all, you're their big company. They're going to do the very best for you. So it's not like you have an inferior product, but when you have your own machines and you're shooting your own, you're getting rid of that middleman, you have a little more control there. And I think that's one of their secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also like bass heads. The only other company that comes to mind when I think of these guys is Missile.
Yeah, exactly.
You got, like, this office full of, like, insane bass heads.
Yeah. Tournament guys.
Making baits, right?
Cutting edge guys, tournament guys.
I remember when Reaction Innovations made baits and nobody would buy them. They were a West Coast company, Arizona to be exact. They were a West Coast company. They had a line of baits. They had a flipping tube, which they no longer have. They had a wacky rig bait called the Ball Buster, which was made to hook in the middle with little balls on the end of the of like a Senko type, which they no longer have. They had an underspin called the Schoolgirl, which they no longer have. But, you know, it wasn't until Andre, who was touring on FLW at the time, won the FLW event on Beaver Lake, which was held every year. That was a regular tour stop because it's not, it was the home of the FLW. Mm-hmm. He won it with the Sweet Beaver, and then all of a sudden, all holy hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And yours truly here has been with them boys since the very, very beginning. So we have a great relationship with them. We work with them on every aspect of, you know, selling their products. And, you know, we're going to bring you a few things tonight. What do you got for me, Nick?
Well, I love that story you were talking about the beginning, because I remember Mike telling me a story about you guys were one of the first. You've seen that they won these tournaments. Oh, we got to get these baits.
Yeah.
The problem is nobody knew what the hell they were.
No.
So you had all these baits.
We had a we George bought a tractor trailer load of this stuff, you know, and we put all of our money on this. Went to back end, there wasn't the internet, so you know, we went to shows, and we went to this big giant bass show right down the road from our store, and set up in front of some of the biggest bass heads in the area, and couldn't give the stuff away. I mean, literally could not give it away.
So when they first hit the scene, right, some of their spokespeople were unknown bass, professional bass anglers by the name of Aaron Martins, mm-hmm. and Skeet Reese. You know, and nobody knew who they were. They were tearing up the West Coast.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were fishing some of the Reaction products.
Yeah.
There was a guy by the name of Robert Lee who won 3 bass events in a row on their tube, the Boom Boom tube, which doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
Flipping it.
Yep.
And the rest, as they say, is history. You know, they push the envelope in every aspect, you know, from frog design, from walk and bait design. They had a buzz bait that was killer. They had hooks. They had it all. Mm-hmm. And, like, for example, the straight shank flipping hook that every company in the market has today, nobody had that hook except for Reaction Innovations, and it was called the BMF. And it was made by Gamagatsu. Gamagatsu still makes the hook today under their name.
Yep.
You know, and what happened with these guys is they'd get in, and when everybody jumped on it and copied it, they'd get out. They're like, okay, you know, we're 2 steps ahead. Here's what we're doing next. So, you know, by the time you catch up, we're moving on.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's something about that spirit and that, you know, that swagger that we like.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that we've caught a truckload of fish on their baits.
Yeah.
And we've sold many truckloads of their baits.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about tonight, and we mentioned this in passing a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Doug, they did have a pocket rocket.
They had everything.
A wacky rig worm.
They still do. So this is their newest color, and it's available in only a couple baits, and it's called Electric Shad.
Beautiful color, man.
So you got that little bit of violet in the belly, laminated to, you know, that kind of brownish back. I mean, it's an electric shed. It's a killer electric shed. So this is the Little Dipper, right? So the Little Dipper, for those of you who don't fish it, you know, this is an extremely versatile bait, right? So it's awesome on a ball head, right? You just put it on a ball head. If you're fishing numerous shallow water situations, or if you're forward facing sonar fishing, that's money.
Mm-hmm.
Slow roll it, jig it on the bottom in colder water, let it pendulum down through fish, Damiki style. Money. Straight up, right? Couple times of the year, like early fall, when they're suspended on bait, early pre-spawn, you know, another killer way to fish this bait. Right in post-spawn, when things get a little funky, is on an underspin. There it is on a Buckeye Sioux spin.
Yeah.
Perfect fit.
Beautiful.
Got the little blade there. Little underspin. Killer. Killer. And there's just so many ways to rig this thing, right? But that color, okay? So, for example, one of my favorite chatterbait colors is Golden Shiner. Right? Golden Shiner jackhammer. And, you know, when I'm in cleaner water and I'm on a shad bait fish bite, one of my favorite all-time jackhammer trailers is a Little Dipper. And that electric shad and that Golden Shiner.
Yeah, it's fish catcher.
I mean, come on.
Fish catcher.
That's money.
Yeah, the thing about that bait, too, for you smallmouth guys, you know, it's a great search bait. You know, you can on that ball head jig, you throw it out, reel it back, throw it out, reel it back. You cover a lot of water with it. And the other thing I noticed about the Little Dipper on a ball head, over any other boot foot bait, and I fished a lot of different ones, there's nothing that thumps harder than the Little Dipper.
How about the body roll, too?
That's what I'm saying. The thump on that is the most unbelievable. Now,
and the body roll.
If you look at that, I think that's where you get the thump, is more with the body roll of this bait. But if you look at that bait, the way that it's cut, you know, you look at it, kind of has these unique cuts in it. That is all in the process of making that bait do this.
And that's legit.
And when I tell you it thumps, it's dunk, 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 dunk. It's rolling. Like, it rolls almost 90 degrees and flashes the two-tone colors. So that's why you see a lot of two-tone colors in there. You get that nice flash out of them. And you can actually see your rod tip thumping like that. And go ahead and look at all the other baits out there and fish all the other baits and watch your rod tip. There's nothing that moves your rod tip like this thing does.
Well, you can rig it on a belly weighted swim bait hook, right? Now, this one's a little small. This is for our next bait. But if you took like this BKK and a 2-0, or if you took a Hayabusa or whatever, whatever your favorite belly weight is, with or without the blade.
Yeah.
That's great for coming through, like, grass. I'm going to tell you something that Mike and I have done forever and a day, going back to the very beginning of time with the Skinny Dipper, when we didn't even know how to fish it. When the Skinny Dipper first came out, our friends at Reaction Innovations sent us a big old Ziploc bag of handfuls of the different colors, just all. And we didn't even know how to fish the thing. Now, at the time, it was the hottest bait in Florida.
Yeah.
Being fished basically with a very light bullet weight, Texas rigged with a wide gap hook and swam through the grass. You know, we were just trying to figure this thing out. And, you know, a lot of people were using belly-weighted hooks. At the time, they didn't even really even have good screw-lock belly-weighted hooks. It was more like the old-school belly-weighted hooks. But we decided to use a screw-in bullet weight and a wide-gap EWG-style hook, which, to this day, if we get into a cover situation mm-hmm. where we want to swim all different sizes of them, depending on, we'll just match the hook to the size, you know, anywhere from an eighth to a quarter ounce bullet, screw-in bullet weight. You know, whenever that weight is firmly attached to the bait, okay, a screw-in bullet weight, a tightly pegged bullet weight, a belly weight, a jig head, any of those methods, you get that really thumping body roll that Mike's referencing, and he's 100% right. That is the difference between the Little Dipper and almost everybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, when this category of bait became big, every company out there capitalized on it. Now, obviously, the Kytec brand has probably maximized it more than anybody, but do not overlook the Little Dipper. And I'm going to tell you, as a chatterbait and a swim jig trailer, Now, another color that's overlooked, and, you know, right after the spawn, clear water, around grass, you're making a horrible mistake if you overlook this color. This color is called bullfrog. We got your watermelon pepper on the back. We got your pearl pepper belly. Okay, we're going to fish it all the ways that we discussed, right? Plus, the new jackhammer that came out last year in the blueback herring, you got to see this. And this is killer. I like matching my trailers to my jackhammers a lot of the times in clear water. If this was in an art galley, somebody right now would be putting in a $25,000 bid. Right? Probably be walking like one of them big standard poodles, smoking a cigarette with one of them big filters on it, and putting in a $25,000 bid on that piece of artwork right there. And that's a clear water killer, okay? Swim jig, chatterbait, all the other ways we mentioned. Bullfrog. Get you some bullfrog, okay? These laminated colors are a little rare. So when they come out, we get hundreds and hundreds of packs of them. Mm-hmm. And when they're out, like
they don't see them for a while.
Sungill is right now.
Yeah.
Don't come crying to Uncle George. He tried to tell you. Now, I want to jump over to their, I think, overlooked bait. It's definitely overlooked up here in the Northeast, but it shouldn't be. And it's called a shiver shot. And it's a drop shot bait. It's a D'Amici rig bait. Fork tail, here it is on a little underspin. Money. This is the electric shad color. So they ran that electric shad in the Little Dipper, and they ran that electric shad in the shiver shot. Okay. Money. The other way I like to rig it is on a hover rig, core tackle. Hoverhead rigs up really nice on there. Great setup for your forward-facing sonar. Drop shot. This thing nose-hooked on a drop shot is killer. And they have, this is Electric Shad, which is the new color, which, say less. Smoke Grape. Smoke Grape used to have a different name that was not politically correct. So now it's called Smoke Grape. But the first, it used to be called, the first name was a word that rhymed with statutory. Smoke Grape.
Yeah, that's one thing about their color names. They have some pretty colorful color names.
Smoke Grape. Huh? Smoke Grape.
Yeah.
Great. Very colorful. Killer Color.
Tell us some other color names they have.
Well, white trash. You could actually make a
white trash. And, you could actually Spanish make up fly.
A, you could make up a poem. Yes. You could make up a poem.
Spanish fly.
You know, about what you did on a Saturday night with the color names. You know,
it's pretty funny. But he's cleaned it up a lot. The packaging was very, very, very cool for a long time too.
Well, you know, you get older, you get pressure.
Dirty Sanchez, Mike Sholley.
Politically correct.
Yeah, they got some good ones.
You know. But anyways, that is our Reaction Innovations Electric Shad Color review. And also the review of Bullfrog. No extra charge to you. That was free content. That was like extra innings, Phillies game.
I know, man. I tell you, people don't get it with that Little Dipper and that Skinny Dipper. That Skinny Dipper with a 4-0 extra wide gap pegged with that bullet weights screw in bullet weight head. I mean, that thing is such a cool bait to throw in grass. You can worm it right through there, you know. Swim bait right through the thickest grass, and man, we caught so many fish doing that over the years. It's just a
chatterbait trailer.
It's just a great bait.
Killer chatterbait trailer. Killer swim jig trailer.
I don't even think we can count how many fish we caught on them things.
The whole swim jig, when you're reeling a white swim jig in with that, the whole entire swim jig is doing this, and you're getting more bites because of it.
I'm telling you.
They got the Alabama shake. I got the Reaction Innovation shake.
Yeah, that thing is really crazy good.
It's killer. Get yourself a lot. Don't get one pack. Mm-mm. Get like as many as you can afford and then go a little bit over that. Mm, yeah. You're going to thank me later. All right. Let's switch gears. Okay? Let's talk hooks. So, Gamagatsu, now this was actually a classic release, and, you know, it didn't fit my schedule for the classic, so we're releasing it now. It's officially being released now. So, they're doing their best hooks. So, the round bend offset. Good luck seeing these. Okay. Round bend. See the bend? That bend's a perfect U shape. That's where the term round bend comes from. Now, let's look at the same hook in what's called an O'Shaughnessy bend. Or a lot of people, like myself, will call it a Sproat bend. Okay? The top hook is a Sproat bend. Or technically an O'Shaughnessy bend. The bottom hook is a round bend. The top hook is a 3-0. The bottom hook is a 4-0. So these are J hooks, offset worm hooks. You know, they call them J hooks because they're shaped like the letter J. And this is going to be your standard worm hook, right? So if you're fishing a, you know, just a Texas rigged worm. You know, a lot of people are going to go for this style of hook. Very good hookup ratio because of the line pull to the point relationship. So the angle that's created by the by the point to the eye. That pull point, that's a very efficient hook set, high percentage. The round bend is super popular with Carolina riggers. Super popular with some bulkier baits like a Senko. The sprout bend, or what they call the O'Shaughnessy bend, really popular with the traditional worm, you know, the any kind of like regular bodied worm, ribbon tail, straight tail. Okay. Now the new hook is all about the coating. So it's called Nano Alpha, and it's got that coating, right? You can feel that, right?
Yeah, super smooth.
And it's also like 4 times more corrosion resistant than black nickel. So if you're fishing in tidal water environment, you know, if your day box where you keep your hooks is not as dry as you'd like it to be, and your stuff gets wet and you don't do a good job maintaining it, you know, I could go on and on.
Won't rust as quick.
4 times more corrosion resistant, super slick. Of course, they did the sprout, they did the round bend, and then, of course, their two most famous hooks ever. The top hook is a 5-aught EWG. The bottom hook is a 4-aught Superline EWG. So if you're fishing braid, if you're fishing a heavy rod, if you're pitching, flipping, that bottom hook's where you're going to be, the super line. It's a thicker, stiffer wire. It won't flex as much. If you're fishing, you know, a traditional setup, you know, medium-heavy, 15-pound line, you know, that top hook's where you want to be, EWG. For the most part. Again, you'll notice on this hook, the points are very much in line because this hook is designed to be hooked what they call text-posed. So, you know, I like this hook on a Senko myself. And, of course, you guys all know what text-posing is. And if you don't, you're about to. Over there, right? Pull that up on the shoulder. See where that hook wants to come through. And then you can kind of tuck that in there. Okay, text posed. Solid hookup. You got plenty of gap for bulky baits. Very good hook. Very good track record. Again, the heavier flipping, pitching, heavier cover, stiffer rod. You know, I always go with the Superline. 4-aught Superline's my go-to flipping hook. Unless the money's on the line, then I go straight shank. Yeah, so Nano Alpha. Full line of EWGs. Full line of Superline EWGs. Full line of offset worm. Full line of offset worm round bend. No bulk bags. The traditional black nickel hooks that you are used to are still in stock and will be for quite a while, and you can still get your 25-count packs. Great hooks. Give them a shot. Gamagatsu Nano Alpha.
Sam, we lean towards the O'Shaughnessy style hooks when we're fishing like a ribbon tail worm, like a 6-inch ribbon tail worm, or a straight tail, Texas rigging, a straight tail worm, you know, a trick worm or something like that. We like the O'Shaughnessy style.
Yeah, the round bend is also a dynamite hook for like a Carolina rig.
Yeah.
You know, on a little bit of a bulkier bait, like maybe a, you know, a creature style bait, like a brush hog. You know, love to Carolina rig a brush hog, a baby brush hog, Rage Bug. You know, love the Carolina rig. Those bigger, bulkier baits at Round Bend works really well there. You can also go EWG there. Personal preference comes into play there. But that all four of those are the four most important hooks in our lineup right now. I'm sure this Nano Alpha is going to expand, but that's where you're at right now. And they're $449 a pack is where they start, so they're not – the price really didn't change. A couple pennies here and there depending on the size of the hook. But it really didn't change. And, yeah, great hook.
Yeah, that's a good point, James, you know, that George was talking about with the Superline hook. You know, you really – if you're using a braid or a, like a stiff rod – heavy line and you're flipping, you know, short line, a lot of pressure on that, you have to use the Superline hook. Have to use it. Got it, because I'm telling you, you'll have heartbreaks if you don't.
There's, well, what happens is, and if you're not exposed to this, you don't understand it, you don't believe it, you don't even think about it, is you jack that fish and you're fighting that fish and you lose them right away. What actually happened was your hook flexed open. You can see this hook's flexing. Your hook flexed out, changed that angle, and then when it pops back into shape. So you don't really understand that that's happening. It's happening because you're on a heavier rod, like a heavy power.
Mm-hmm. Braided line.
You're on braid, or you're on
it a lot.
Heavier 20-pound line or 17-pound line. Short quarters, big fish, cover. You want the super line. This is more of a medium-heavy rod, 15-pound line or less, open water hook, twitching a super fluke. This hook is freaking money, okay? Money, twitching a fluke. EWG, not the super line. Now, if you're trying to set up a specific, like you want that bait to fall quicker, you can use a super line to sink that super fluke quicker, but those are little tweaks that you make. That's the general gist of those hooks.
Lighter rod, lighter tip, lighter line. You need that thinner wire for penetration and hook set power, you know, to be able to hook set a 3-0 hook.
Yeah.
So that the you know, thinner diameter is a deal. Now, the other thing about that coating is penetration of the hook when you do set the hook. It's supposedly
ain't no supposedly about it.
Yeah, it's better for hook setting, better for the penetration on the hook set. So, you know, they have what's the other hook with the coating on it? They're the finesse hooks.
Well, they have that whole entire line.
Yeah.
The TGW tournament grade wire.
Yeah.
And they all have a nano coating on them also.
Right. So that's
a whole different. That's a similar coating.
Right.
Different wire.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But
it's not new. It's a new version of that.
New version coating, yeah.
It's a different color. It's a slightly different coat. Yeah. It does look a little different, yeah. But it's the same basic concept.
But you can feel it when you grab a hold of that hook and you slide your fingers across. You can feel it. It's totally different than the original black nickel. So, I mean, there's definitely a spot in the box.
That's a valid point. I mean, if you're used to the tournament grade wire hooks, you know, the green packs, then this is right up your alley. Mm-hmm. So it's your more traditional shapes in that coating, but even a more slippery version of that coating and a more corrosionary version of that coating. Are we splitting hairs? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, haven't used hooks yet.
Yeah.
So Doug's asking 7.2 medium light extra fast Zodius casting 15-pound braid 12-pound leader, what I would call a finesse technique. By all means, regular EWG. You know, the regular EWG, the offset worm, round bend is where it's going to be for you. That super line, you know, only in like very specific circumstances where you're trying to sink something that's weightless, but no. EWG, regular all day long.
Yeah, because of that soft tip rod.
Perfect setup.
Braid and, you know, the 15-pound braid is no stretch with the leader, and it's a heavier leader, but your rod is allowing that that flex built into the whole setup. So
it's perfect.
It's not gonna straighten it out.
It's perfect. Yep. Yeah. So that's the Nano Alpha.
Yeah.
Gamagatsu.
There you go.
Gamagatsu. We got them in stock in large quantities. Okay, so guys, we got another new line of rods in.
Good God, when's it gonna stop?
It's never gonna stop. So, you, like, man, literally in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've added in 3 complete rod lines. We've added in the GLX line from Loomis. We've added in the Physics from St. Croix. And now we have added in the Megabass Orochi X10. So the Megabass Orochi X10 is a, like, hybrid of the Orochi and the Destroyer P5. Is the best way to...
Sits right in between those.
Break that. Well, it's the carbon that's used in that is the same exact carbon that's in the P5, but they're using a eco-friendly, like, natural type fiber that's exhibits carbon like. I'm glitching up here because these words are just pissing me off. Tendencies. So basically we have a tree hugger rod. So, I mean, you know, you can address your inner feelings for Mother Earth.
Well, if somebody ever gets on this rod. If somebody ever gets on your shit about, you know, not loving the environment.
Yeah, I mean, if PETA's fucking there, with you at the boat ramp, you're like, yeah, hey, dog.
Yeah.
This shit's natural. Right? This is, I mean, for God's sakes, BMW and Lamborghini are using this. Now, all seriousness aside, you know, Megabass is the ultimate in minute details. The ultimate. They go over the top and they do it with pride. Yeah. And that's kind of what makes a Megabass, right? So we have the Orochi X10, okay? And every aspect of this rod is impressive. The reel seat, this is a spinning rod. This particular model spinning is called the Medusa, which we're going to talk about in a second here. But this reel seat, you'll notice how small the grip is. There's basically a minute foregrip that's actually part of the main grip. Carbon reel seat. Okay? Even this little nut down here, this is machined from a solid block of aluminum, okay? Just because it's Megabass. Up locking, super comfortable. We had all kinds of spinning reels on here, and it was beautiful. You've got, you know, the traditional high-end guide train that you'll find on P5.
Braid friendly.
Now, the Medusa. So the Medusa is a F3, which means it's a what we would call a 3-power, but that's a light. That's a light. So it's a solid tip. So this is a rod that is being sucked up by the forward facing crowd. So from here up, this is a solid carbon tip. And if you recall, we talked about this last week or the week before.
Yeah, week before.
In the Shimano X-Pride rod. And this tip is what is giving these baits this excessive rolling and twitching action. It's a thing. For the finely tuned D'Amici rig guy, that's a thing. Okay? So this rod actually primarily crafted for that, but it's also like a awesome finesse rod. So that's the Medusa. These rods are all $399. Okay? It's a organic, again, not joking around here. It's an organic carbon is the best way for me to describe this to you. Married up with the same exact carbon that's on the Destroyer P5 line. So
it's and it's extremely light. It very, very, very light rod.
Very light.
And it's a big, there's a big jump from the traditional Orochis to the Orochi X10s. I mean, the weight is unbelievably different.
So this is the cliffhanger. And this is a rod that they specifically built in their casting line for BFS. And I want to show you that the casting model because of the reel seat. So we have a completely split reel seat. Two pieces. Right? Fully exposed blank, carbon, you know, split grip, obviously, the same machined. Beautiful. But we have this in a BFS rod with a beautiful extra fast taper. Precision. These rods are precision, crisp tapers. They're beautiful. Just telling you, there's a reason we got involved with them. They're freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Now, my pick, not that you want to hear it, but I'm the one talking. So you're going to kind of have to. Plus, I hope you want to hear it. But my pick is the Jade Python. Okay? Which, you know, it's a more traditional. It's a 3.5, 7-foot traditional spinning rod. And I love it because this is going to be my, if I was talking to you and you were here talking to me and you were saying I want a versatile spinning rod that I can use for a wide range of my bass fishing techniques, I'm going to talk to you about the Jade Python. First of all, it's extremely light. Mm. I mean, it's ridiculously lightweight. Mm-hmm. Feel it. Feel how light it is. Feel that? That is, I mean, it's light. I'm holding it down. Beautiful
light.
Taper.
Very light.
Okay.
That's why another thing I noticed about these rods, they have really different tapers than the than their, you know, traditional tapers that you see on the Levante and the Orochi.
And then last but not least, I think there's, I want to say there's like 10 to 12 models. And I think every model but one's in stock, and that model's actually not going to show up till like July. Now, the thing about these rods that Mega Bass is doing, you know, you're familiar with their bait releases, like their Respect Series baits and their Japan-only colors. You know, they're once and done. Well, these rods are going to be twice a year. So we just got this shipment in now, okay? This one here is called the Bandersnatch. Okay, this is going to be your go-to. This is going to be your go-to 7-foot F5.
It's for snatching the giants out of the cover there, Nick.
You know, spinner bait, chatter bait, pitching a jig, worming. Beautiful. Beautiful. But, as I was saying, these rods are going to be released like they just released them. And then they're going to do another shot in, like, you know, roughly September. Might be before that a little bit, but basically it's twice a year. So it's not a day in and day out rod, you know, like Levante, Destroyer P5, Orochi. You know, you can pretty much buy 90% of those rods any day of the week. There's going to be that model that gets hot that's not available. That happens with everything. That happens with every brand. That happens. This rod is going to be like limited release. Excuse me. And then another limited release. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Megabass Orochi X10.
Yeah.
You know.
Beautiful stuff. We've been fishing, Greg, we've been fishing Megabass for, man, it's got to be going on 10 years.
Well, I mean, we have three generations of Orochi.
Yeah.
Two generations of Levante.
Yeah. We've been fishing a long time. You know, I don't say we have a ton of them, but I bet you we have, six or eight of them bouncing around in the boat at all times.
My favorite is, the Orochi Flatside Special.
Great rod.
And also I can speak for Mike here.
Yeah.
We both love the Orochi Shaky Head Rod.
A Shaky Head Rod is a great, great action. And, you know, one of the things about that is if you want a nice, great rod for fluking, throwing a Super Fluke, that's a great rod for Super Fluke fishing.
Another rod that we like a lot for a couple of, like, radically different techniques is the Extreme Mission Type F. They call it the EMTF. It's a 7.5. Yeah. Extra fast taper. Ton of backbone. Light tip. Beautiful Carolina rig rod. And I also like it for a low water, clear water rod where I got a bomb a swim jig or I got a bomb a spinnerbait. I can AT&T them.
Look at
you know
that.
What that is, don't you, Nick?
Sam's got the...
No. Huh?
No.
Reach out and touch them.
Nice.
That's right.
Sam's got the, and I remember when he bought it too, the Felissa and the Exist as a combo
at Bass
Fest. That was awesome.
Yeah, the Felissa 7.5, like a F2 or 3 spinning.
Yeah, beautiful.
Drop shot, finesse rod. I've seen that rod at work with just under a 7-pound smallie one day on Lake Ontario.
Wow.
With a size 4.
Yeah,
drop shot hook. On 6-pound fluorocarbon leader.
How deep, George?
35 foot of water. It was a 6-11 smallie. And the combo that my buddy, who's actually the national sales manager for Megabass, was using was the Felissa with an Exist. Same combo that Sam and Sam was talking about.
Yeah.
And that drag was just like, and that little hook looked like a splinter in that thing's mouth.
Yeah. Joshua Torres, Orochi with an O. Put an O on the front of that thing.
I don't know. You were saying that one rod's called a Banner Snatch.
Bandersnatch.
I thought you were going to say Reaction Innovations named it.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. That's like the Furious Hog Snatcher.
Yes.
This is a Bandersnatcher.
Shaky head rod.
All right. Gotcha.
Yep.
Snatching up giants, Nick. Throwing them snatch baits out there.
All right. I'm going to cut this loose on you real quick. I'm going to show you some secret backroom stuff. Now, everybody, you don't want to miss this. Shiver shot. .10 Titan Diver from BKK. Wait till you see this bad boy. I got the pressure of the camera on me here. I'm trying to rig this up.
Mike, this is where you hit the button where it goes, the timer, like,
yeah.
What is it, Jeopardy or something?
I know. I've been working on some sounds, but I haven't been getting too far with it.
Right? Get your measurement there. Come out the back, right? Now, this has a little silicone slider on it. Push that up underneath the bait to keep it tight against the bottom of that hook. Huh? When that thing falls and that blade's just kind of flickering and it's doing its body rolling. Game over. Yeah.
Good looking bait, Nick.
You just saw that. That's all I got for you tonight. It's long-winded, but I had fun doing it. I know you guys did, too. I'm hoping you guys out there enjoyed it. Tackle Talk for this week. Got a big week planned for you next week with some really cool new stuff. But that's all we have at the moment for Tackle Talk.
Wow, it was great Tackle Talk. Really excited about
good stuff,
all
stuff, huh?
I'm excited about that.
Got any questions about that, Nick?
Actually, I do.
Nick.
Because I know you guys like to throw the little dipper.
Love
awesome
it.
Bait.
We don't like to throw the little dipper.
You love it.
We love to throw the
little
dipper.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been on your boat or seen rods that you don't have at least a skinny dipper, little dipper on a rod.
Did you ever see the box of little dippers that we carry in our boat?
I'd only imagine.
It's pretty freaking impressive just to look at
it. It's a big one.
So, my question is, when do you like to throw a skinny dipper or a little dipper as a trailer? When do you choose which one?
Freaking Nick Moy. He asks the kind of questions that you only hear on 60 Minutes.
Right.
Cameraman Nick.
When they're interviewing, like, somebody crazy.
That's why he's part of the crew.
It's interesting because a lot of cases, when you're catching them on a little dipper, you're going to catch them on a skinny dipper. There are springtime scenarios where, you know, if you're in a situation where you would typically throw a little dipper, which a lot of smallmouth fishermen like to do, you'll actually do better in certain circumstances with a skinny dipper. But my day-in, day-out pick is going to be the little dipper doesn't just catch small fish. It catches big fish. It's might not be coming out right. If you're on a smallmouth bite on a river or a lake and they're spawning, throw the skinny dipper. If it's a cold front, if it's pre-spawn, if it's not the best conditions, or if it's post-spawn, by all means, throw the little dipper. Post-spawn, that little dipper can save your life, okay? Now, you got to have the right colors, okay? You have to have white trash. That's going to be your white chatterbait trailer, your white swim jig trailer. You have to have sungill, okay? That's giving you your perch look for all you guys fishing on fisheries that are infested with perch or bluegill. You have to have that sungill. You have to have, and these colors you have to have in both sizes. Okay, no sales pitch here. This is you coming out on my boat and we're putting a beat down on some fish. You have to have grape, which is now called smoke grape. You have to have that, okay? That color is mandatory. That one there, I would probably just keep in the little one. You have to have bullfrog, okay? That's your post spawn. That's your baby bass color. That's your clear water color. Mm-hmm. Okay, gotta have that. You have to have the black and blue. They call it penetration. It's black laminated to blue. That's your trailer for your black and blue chatterbait, your black and blue swim jig, and in dingy water in a smallmouth river situation, thank me later. You have to have that. You have to have green pumpkin watermelon laminated. Got to have it. That's your green pumpkin jig color trailer. And by itself in clear water, deadly. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but those are colors you got to have. Now, I think you got to have some electric shad.
I'm really excited about that.
Okay.
Electric
this
shad.
This is brand new. I haven't had a chance to fish it. I fished it in other baits, but not quite like this.
Yeah.
I'm going to put electric shad down as 2024's hottest color in Little Dipper. Will go down in infamy in this shop as electric shad.
I tell you, Nick, that
yeah.
that Little Dipper, Skinny Dipper thing, you know, as a trailer now, I'm just talking as a trailer. If you're fishing like a lot of pressured water, you know, a lot of these guys are throwing the full size chatterbaits with the big full size trailers on them. You can go behind, you know, you can go in there with a Little Dipper on. You see how compact that, I don't know if he still has that rigged up.
I'm never unrigging it.
Yeah. You see how much shorter and compact that looks, Nick? See where the skirt is as opposed to the tail? That's a totally different look in the water than a full-size swim bait on the back. So, you know, it gives you that little different look than what everybody else is chucking. You know, you'll see the guys all around you, you know, especially in places like Potomac River, you know, Upper Chesapeake Bay out in the flats when you got 10 billion guys slinging chatterbaits and that kind of stuff around.
That could be. That in the spring, that could be any lake USA.
Yeah, anywhere. I mean, you know, everybody's chucking because a lot of times there's, you know, you want to match the hatch, and in the spring, there's bigger bait fish around. So you want that. Usually you do want that. But when you get that pressure and you shorten up and you go a little smaller, and I think that's why the Minimax craze is taking off like crazy, is because it's that real small, different sounding small profile that gets you more bites.
Oddly enough, speaking of the Minimax, that's a little too much trailer for the Minimax.
Yeah, I haven't tried it on a Minimax yet.
It's a little too much trailer for the Minimax.
The Little Dipper.
The Minimax just kind of comes through the water with a Little Dipper on it. You got to go down to a skinnier trailer on the Minimax, and then the Minimax comes to life.
Yeah. But, you know, it's that. I think that's why guys are really, really, there's a lot of people starting to migrate
that
Minimax.
That's killer right
just
there.
Just for that reason, the high pressured water.
Right there, killer.
Now, throw in the Little Dipper and the Skinny Dipper without a trailer. You know, of course, you're set up right now for the Skinny Dipper because it's the early spring and it's the pre-spawn. And a little bit of spawning going on, you want to throw that big one. And, you know, that's matching the hatch. That's what the fish are eating. I don't know if George was out the other week and he caught some fish that spit up a 10-inch smallmouth, you know. He caught a 5-pounder that spit up a 10-inch smallmouth. So, you know, these fish are eating big baits, are eating big stuff. So the Skinny Dipper is your prime bait. And then as soon as that post-spawn comes and that fries around.
Or if you get a cold front.
Or a cold front, you know, throw that Little Dipper. That Little Dipper will carry you through the summer very, very well.
I'm going to say, you know, chatterbait, swim jig, trailer, 80% of the time Little Dipper. Swimming it by itself, 50-50. Probably a little more towards the Little Dipper because of post-spawn in summer. It's deadly in the summer when the water gets really clear. When the grass on your lake, when the grass clears that water out in the summer and it gets to be a tough bite, that sucker is deadly. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so let's move on to a little thing we call tournament talk. Mm-hmm. Man,
we got exciting. Some tournaments going on.
Exciting day today. Watching the old TV a little bit today, and while we're working, listening to it, and you know, those guys are catching some big fish. That Trey McKinney again. My God, that guy is just for as young as he is, in the knowledge and the you know how we always talk about. fishing your gut and your instincts. You know, this kid is very instinctual, and he has an instinct that is very, very advanced. Very advanced. Very, very impressive watching him make some of the calls he made today and the moves he made today.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because this morning I was watching. I didn't get to watch it a lot, but he was on this pattern in the morning. I don't know if it's a pattern, but he's throwing top water.
Yeah.
And I know he could see him on his live, but he knew, like, all right, I'm going to throw this top water. He got one to bite, but it took the whole school to the boat. So he knew, like, now that screwed me up a little bit.
Yeah.
So he had to back off, let those fish go.
Yeah.
And then he started throwing, like, maybe a glide bait.
Yeah.
And then something else.
Caught that six-pounder on a glide bait.
It's crazy that they view it a little bit different.
Yeah.
Things that we never really thought, they're showing that.
Absolutely.
We probably weren't as open-minded as we thought we would be.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. The other thing that I really like to see is Greg DePalma had a very solid tournament.
Great day.
Good day, good state start now. He's in 34th place, had 15-pound bag. You know, hopefully he'll be able to do that again tomorrow and get that big bite, you know.
Mike, have you ever been on that river?
No.
No?
No.
That's a tidal river, right?
Right, it's tidal, right.
You know how high air?
It's a very small tide, yeah. Yeah, it's a very small tide. Of course, when you get closer to the ocean, it drops more. But what is the tide on that river, George? It's a very small tide, isn't it?
So that river actually flows
backwards
north.
Yeah.
So it's a lot like the St. Lawrence. So, you know, the farther... I mean, which direction that would be? The farther north you go,
yeah,
you're getting closer to the tide. Is that correct? No.
Well,
the farther south you go, you're getting closer to the tide because it's flowing from south to north. So you're going to have a bigger tide here and a lesser tide up here.
Yeah.
Well, the tide is affecting these guys, even though it's not a big tide.
Right.
They have a terrible tide because they have incoming tide. So, you know, they're low water in the morning. Of course, it's changing every day by an hour, 45 minutes. And then when that tide gets in, if you're in that more tidal zone, those fish aren't eating good on that. That's why you saw that late afternoon flurry happen today. The tide turned to started going out.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you have a shad spawn. So this event and the last week's event on Harris, there was a solid shad spawn. This event has a really good shad spawn. And that Trey McKenney you guys are talking about, you know, he's tapped into that. He's made this big, long run. Forever, and he's on school and fish. And like,
where's he running to?
You know, I can't answer that.
Yeah,
I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, I didn't see where he was running to. He's running a hell of a long way. Say it's John Cox too. He's running like forever.
But
yeah, they said like 3 hours one way.
Yeah,
but a lot of that's idle zone. Manatee speed limit zones and canal no wakes, but as soon as he got there, like instantaneous fish on a
walking bait of some sort,
Strike King Sexy Dog, like right out the get. And you know, so it's shad spawn in the morning. You know, you saw Scott Martin capitalizing on that. You saw Trey McKenney capitalizing on that. You saw Cliff Prince trying to capitalize on that. Didn't happen. He tried to capitalize on it. You know, he's fishing those cypress trees. They like to spawn on those. You know, the way that shad spawn works is that the shad spawn at night, and it continues into the morning until the sun gets up pretty good. When the sun gets down on the water angle, they're kind of like, eh.
Done.
And, you know, they disperse. And while that shad spawn's going on, you're gonna, if you watch closely tomorrow morning, you're going to see the walking baits. Everybody was throwing some sort of a walking bait. They were throwing spooks. They were throwing that sexy dog. They were throwing, John Cruise was throwing walking bait and a whopper plopper. You're going to see swim jig tomorrow. Tomorrow, now that they got their bead on this shad spawn, tomorrow you're going to see white swim jigs flying through the air. Like, have you ever seen the medieval pictures of the archers on top of the wall at the frickin' castle? When they cut loose on the arrows, that's how the white swim jigs are going to look tomorrow, flying through the air. Because you're getting bit, right? So you're probably going to see a little bit of chatterbait action. And it's, you got to make hay when the sun shines, right?
Yeah.
Schooling fish. In other words, post-spawn.
Yeah.
Mike, we're watching a post-spawn tournament.
Yeah.
Except for one thing.
They're still spawners.
John Cox is running 3 hours to fish bedding fish.
Yeah.
In a spring that you and I were in 40 years ago.
Wow. Up on Lake George.
Well, off of there. There's a couple guys that have had numerous bedding fish marked. Okay, so there is some guys fishing bedding fish. Oh, yeah, very, very few.
Yeah, there's definitely.
I believe Drew Cook had 40 fish marked for today.
Okay. How'd he do?
He didn't do well. He had like 9 or 12 pounds or something, yeah. 10 pounds.
Yeah.
But, you know, not bad.
Yeah.
You got to understand, you know, we've said this how many times, guys? 4-day tournament in Florida, 10 pounds can be awesome. 10 yeah. pounds today, 10 pounds tomorrow. Get you to fish on Saturday when you can drop the hammer on them, okay, to get yourself to Sunday. So, you know, all these guys that are like 10 pounds, 12 pounds, that's really good. Keep that in mind. It's a post-spawn event.
Yeah.
You know, we saw, what, 1 7-pounder today, couple sixes, right? Florida. You know, Florida is different, and I'll tell you what really messes with your head if you're not, like, totally dialed in. Even in the peak spawning months of January and February when the tour season's typically open in Florida, you fish a 4-day event on Okeechobee, and one of those days, you're going to catch 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're not going to win because a cold front, wind, whatever, it happens.
Yeah, George, you were talking about the post-spawn. You could tell when they were weighing in the fish just with how they looked.
Skinny.
You know, they'd be a lot bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely are post-spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, there was one fish, a guy showed up today to the camera, and I think at the time Lunker was like 5'13", he's like, nah, I don't need to weigh it. It was probably like a month ago, it was almost 7 pounds, you know? So that's interesting. So you got post-spawn, you got, you know, you got guys doing all kinds of things all over the place. It's only day one.
Yeah.
But,
exciting,
you know,
stuff.
I'll tell you something that I've been really, I found really interesting last week on the Harris Chain and this week on the St. John's, is Trey McKinney and a couple of other anglers relying on glide baits.
They threw them a lot.
You know, they're pulling fish up. They're going through these schools. They're getting a big bite on a glide bait multiple times per day, especially these fish that are schooling on shad. Last week they were fishing shell bars with schools of fish on them. They were firing them. They were throwing them glide baits out there and getting that big bite. I don't think I've ever seen played out on Florida waters in all the years that I've been following this game. So to me, you know, that's a major learning thing for me because, you know, I'm really loving the swim bait lifestyle and situations that I wouldn't necessarily think. I'm to the point now where it's like, yeah, if there's feeding fish, I'm throwing a frick swim bait at them, a glide or something of that nature. And we're this is a classroom that we have here. I mean, we're lucky to have this kind of camera work and to pay attention to it and to learn what we're learning, right? The other thing that's playing pretty strong because it's post-spawn is the buzz bait, right?
I saw John Cruz throwing a buzz bait lot today.
Yeah, buzz bait played.
I love throwing a buzz bait post-spawn. I freaking love it. Just that early post-spawn, they eat a buzz bait. Big blade, little blade.
Oh, I agree with you, Mike. But one thing I really love, too, is just the fact that they're catching them all kinds of different ways.
Oh, yeah.
I think it this tournament here allows for a lot of the guys to fish their strengths instead of having to do something they don't want to. Mm-hmm. I like that kind of tournament.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I also found it interesting that some of these anglers, either from no experience on this water or a lot of experience on this water, made the tactical decision to get away from the tides. Because on this body of water, you can go south and you can lock through to Rodman and or other lakes via running and, you know, get off that river channel, get off that river system. Well, I guess technically you're still on the river system.
Speaking of locks.
But you've eliminated that,
yeah,
that tidal effect. So, you know, if you're not, like, sure about the tides or if you're having, you know, they only had a day and a half of practice. If you weren't able to deal with the tides or figure the tides out, you can say, hey, I'm going to go to Rodman or I'm going to go to, you know, one of these other areas that is not tidal affected and take that variable out of play and still find, you know, a shad spawn, still find, you know, a bank that has post-spawn fish, whatever the case may be, still find the proper cup of flipping water. Because, you know, flipping's playing, the jig's playing. Off a lot of shell bars, the jig's playing. Dragging a jig on a shell bar is playing. So, and shell bars are, you know, they're hard spots. You know, we have them on our rivers. We have them on our tidal waters. And they're basically hard spots on the bottom that mussels have colonized for years. And they are clean, hard spots. Fish like to spawn on them. And at post-spawn, they like to gather on them because they're a clean spot in the grass. So they're money. And finding them takes a little bit of learning curve to reading your graph properly. But, you know, on side imaging, they shine bright in an otherwise soft bottom. So they're fishing a lot of shell bars, you know, and that current's important, be it wind-driven current or what have you. The shad are spawning on the shell bars in the morning. The bass are ganging up on them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so this is all, and we practice this same stuff up here in the Northeast. It's practiced all over the country. You know, we have a lot of shell bars that we fish.
Potomac River, Chesapeake Bay,
even on the Susquehanna River, we have areas of tremendous shell. So yeah. That's what's going on there, fellas. Now, last week was the Harris Chain. You know, like eight lake chain. And last week was, again, a shad spawn and a lot of just traditional vegetation. You know, the swim jig played big time last week. The chatterbait played white because of that shad spawn, played big time. Various bait fish colors. You know, the golden shiner is, this is a Florida original right here. This is Florida 101, the golden shiner chatterbait. The white swim jig, the white chatterbait.
Glide baits again.
Glide baits played last week.
Crankbait.
Crankbait. Crank, the guy that won it.
That was awesome.
Guy that won it was on a big shell bar that had an average population of big fish. It didn't have a big population of big fish. It has an average population of big fish. And he was cranking them with a 5XD.
How the hell do you find that?
Years on the water. He's been fishing those lakes since he was in college.
Yeah.
He come out of a college program, so he fished numerous college events there. The other thing he did that was completely unconventional, cranking a 5XD is not a Florida thing.
Yeah.
The other thing he did was, you know, Tennessee River Ledge 101, 3/8 ounce bucktail hair jig. You know, cast it out, let it hit the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4 fast cranks, let it pendulum tight line back to the bottom again.
How deep of water was that? Was that a channel or something?
It was a shell bar in the middle of the lake.
Oh.
Not really super deep.
5XD deep.
Yeah, 5XD
deep. I'm sure he was grinding. 12
feet or something.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
14.
Wow.
Wow. You know.
You see how fast he was cranking that thing?
Yeah, he had to. He actually would feel the bait banging off the fish, and then he would kill it, and then he would jerk it a couple times, and then he would rip the hell out of it, and then he would kill it, and then he'd eat it. He only got a couple bites a day there.
Yeah.
By the time he got to that bar every day, he already had a limit. He stopped in Lake Dora at a limit spot, got a limit, went there, and then it was very...
Grind him out.
Long intervals between fish. He did have, on the third day, I think he had back-to-back, an 8 and a 5.
Yeah.
But then he went hours without a bite.
Yeah.
You know, they did some flipping on that tournament last week. You know, the old D-bomb came out to play. I believe it was Ed Lochran did really well flipping.
Oh, good to see him do well. That, top 10.
Well,
he's a good guy. He's a good fisherman.
101 flipping, baby.
Yeah.
Good. 101 flipping.
Great fisherman.
You know, the Harris chain, a lot of those lakes have brush piles in them. So they had like hurricanes, and they dumped a bunch of brush in the lakes. They had people building brush piles. There's tremendous network of brush piles in those lakes. So it was a lot of brush piles. There was guys drop-shotting brush piles. There was guys dragging jigs on the brush piles. They were glide baiting the brush piles. They were Carolina rigging. They were, you know, throwing a lot of jerk baits, and the jerk baits playing this week too. And they wacky rig.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
You know, stuff that we learn at these events, guys.
Then you have Trey McKinney going to a lock, you know, and fishing that current in that lock and just catching those fish.
Well, that created an issue too.
Yeah, the guys didn't think it was legal.
They're still kind of throwing digs at it.
Yeah, they don't think it's
legal. He wasn't the only one there.
Yeah, he didn't think it was legal.
Tyler Rivette was even farther up into the lock than he was.
Yeah.
And they both called the tournament director and sought clarification on the matter.
Yeah.
Ahead of time. Yeah. So, raise all the hell you want.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, there's a lot of controversies going on in the world of professional bass angling these days. Obviously, you know, we have a huge controversy over fishing boat docks. We have got open discussion about buying information at the highest levels of the game. Open. It's out there. Okay? Purchasing information. We have just conflict and strife. So, you know, it's an interesting time in the professional ranks. And, you know, generally speaking, the noisiest ones are the sources of some of the problems. Not always. You know, sometimes they're just spreading a very good message. You know, I mean, we all love fish and boat docks. Stuff's going on. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, you got...
let's sit back and watch, but let's pay attention smartly.
You got Jacob Wheeler that, I mean, he's been...
destroying.
Yeah, I mean, he's killing everything over there, and they got him cheating left and right. You know, everybody's talking about him cheating left and right.
But he's not.
I'm saying that everybody's saying it, though.
That's what happens when
this
you
is,
win.
This is the stuff that you're dealing
it's
with.
It's the same thing in every sport.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. If you are dominant, people come after you, and he is dominant. He is next level.
Yeah.
He's got this forward-facing thing. He's lethal with it. All of his electronics, plus his fishing, just in general,
well,
is
yeah,
next level.
Him and Canal.
Well, those
I mean,
two guys.
Every tournament.
Those two guys are probably the best forward-facing sonar fishermen out there. You know, they won a lot more money on it than anybody else for sure.
I don't know about that.
Who?
Well, I mean, consider the league.
No, but just catching those fish like they catch on forward facing.
I see what George is saying, though, because they're in a league that pays you to catch as many two-pounders as you can.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I wonder how they would do.
That doesn't make you the best.
To say if you could only catch five, how would their weights compare to if they fished against the Bassmasters? Because every two-pounder ain't going to matter.
Well, I mean.
So, I mean, I'm agreeing with you guys that
Jacob
Wheeler's like
Jordan Lee did very well in the MLF. And he come over here to the Bassmasters and he's kicking ass.
Yeah.
Kid's kicking ass.
Well, defined very well.
What, Jordan Lee?
Yeah. Defined very well. I know
well, he was one
I
of
know
the,
he won the first tournament they ever had.
Yeah, but he's been in the money and making cuts the whole time. He's been a very, very successful. Very successful on the MLF.
Well, I mean, you
not as successful
you
as
you probably should have some stats up to really get into the conversation.
Well, you know,
because he's done all right.
Yeah. Well, bring Wheeler back over. We'll see.
I would. Say,
I guarantee you, Wheeler would be freaking right there.
Well, I would say what we're finding out though is
Wheeler's a badass.
Wheeler
fisherman.
and Canal are. Definitely the two best on major.
Those guys
fishing.
Find those fish like it's going out of freaking
style. But I think
style.
That style that they're fishing fits what they do. They figured out
figured out a way to win on the MLF. But you don't think those guys could go out there and figure out a way to win on a five fish bag?
Not
thing?
As often as they're winning on Bass Pro Tour.
No, but they'll win. They'll be as probably as good as anybody on it. I'm telling you.
I'll say that remains to be seen.
I know it.
I'd like to see it.
I know it. That Wheeler's good, man. And why would he leave? There's no reason for him to leave. He's winning everything.
Look at the money he's making.
He's never going to leave.
That's not the discussion.
But, you know, if it was just like there was all this stuff going on and it was just falling apart, I tell you, that guy would go and
it
jump.
It is falling apart.
He would go jump in the opens and he'd qualify 1 year. He'd qualify 1 year. That's my bet.
Yeah.
That's how good those guys are.
I'll tell you what, when he does that,
yeah,
we will have a bet.
Yeah. I guarantee you.
I got a question for
it's
you.
It's easy to make claims
so,
when there's no,
well, there's no reason for him to do it, though.
Was it last year they did five, or last year it was two-pounders again?
Last year was – the year before last was five.
Okay, yeah. The year that they did five mm-hmm. – was Wheeler as dominant as he is when they go to catch as many as he can?
I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I don't know what his stats were.
I think he's
were.
More dominant when it's catches. I think them two have a formula that they use to catch. They know. They're better than everybody else at catching numbers. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, if you can catch.
He won, though. He won during that five fish deal, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
He's a great.
Well, angler. Again, we would have to have those numbers in front of us to make these conversations work.
I think it was up on 1,000 St. Lawrence.
Oh, yeah. That was the tournament, though.
Floggers.
That they were basically catching the same fish over and over and over and over.
Oh, no, that was a
yeah, that tournament right there led to some problems.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Yeah.
That was one of the problematic events.
Yeah. They made rules for that. They fixed the problem. I mean, I don't like the whole thing. I'm just saying, you put Jacob Wheeler and Dustin Cannell in.
Oh, they're great.
And on the Elite Series, and they're top 25 guys for sure. And they're winning a couple a year.
I just wish to God I could get some action on this.
I would. I'd put money on it. Freaking Wheeler's badass, man.
Get it going, George.
Again, I think Jacob Wheeler is one of the best fishermen. He's like, he was ahead of his. Jacob Wheeler, okay, I'll tell you what, this Trey McKinney.
Yeah.
That's what Jacob Wheeler was like when he was 19.
Yeah. He still has it.
No shit.
He still has it.
But. Don't go around telling
he's a fish whisperer.
Don't go around telling me that he's just going to jump into the elites and start.
No, he's going to jump in. No, he's going to jump in the opens. He's going to kick everybody's ass and qualify in 1 year, when the time comes. But he's not going to ever look anywhere else because he's winning so much money on the MLF. Why would you go anywhere?
When it goes somewhere?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they're waiting on. You know, either Bass is going to buy them or MLF is going to buy Bass.
Ain't going to buy shit.
Right. Well, I don't know.
I mean, when you're the peak of existence, other people want what you have. You don't want what they have.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because there's really no competition there anymore.
Well, unless Bass wants to increase their, you know, increase their deal because they have a great, you know, amateur side.
So let's just say that all goes away.
Yeah.
Then, you know, maybe Bass starts up a version of the BFLs. But they don't have to buy anything to do that.
Yeah, but you can buy the name, you know, for the name so it stays BFL and it stays this. Let's say it's going to cost
money. The only way I would do it if I was Bassmasters, I would buy Major League Fishing. But the only way I would do it is I'd make Bassmasters exactly what it already is. Don't change what works.
Yeah.
But make Major League Fishing what a lot of other people are asking for right now, where you limit the amount of electronics and stuff like that. Create a league that's geared more towards traditional fishing and let Bassmasters what it is. You could do that.
Yeah.
But they're not going to.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting discussion / debate that we will always have because we're passionate Bass fans.
But George, I have a question for you,
and it's all good
because we're in the fourth tournament of the season, and every year I like to ask you this question, and the question is: at the point that we're at right now, what are your feelings for the year so far?
And that's pretty cool because, you know, we had weather. You know, our first two tournaments on the Elite Series were cold, windy. They were held in Texas, you know, on fish factories and it was proven by the results. So, you know, the outcome didn't surprised me at all. The way the outcome occurred surprised the hell out of me because traditionally, I shouldn't say it surprised the hell out of me, it surprised me. Traditionally on Sam Rayburn, or was it Toledo Bend? The first one. I think it was Sam Rayburn. Might have been Toledo Bend, whatever the first one was. Traditionally, you know, back in the day, you would rattle trap grass lines and grass flats. That's where, I mean, Rayburn Red. That's where the red rattle trap came from.
Yeah.
You would crank offshore staging areas with a deep plug. You would Carolina rig.
Mm-hmm.
And you would flip.
Mm-hmm.
That was traditionally.
Yeah.
That's not what you do when you have forward-facing sonar hunters that are highly skilled in their craft.
Hunting.
So, you know, what has been made perfectly clear to me is what I first thought of when I started learning forward-facing sonar. What I always thought bass did in pre-spawn is correct 10% of the day. So basically, 90% of the time in my existence as a fisherman, I was wrong. Mm. And the reason that it was so right for 10% of the time is because they were all there for 10% of the time. It was like fish, bang, 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 bang. The rest of the time when you're not catching them, they weren't there. Because they were just like randomly just swimming around.
Cruising around.
Things. And, you know, so a lot of, and this has been said on this program before, this has been said, you know, other places. A lot of what we thought we knew, we don't, is not right. But when it's right, it's, you know, it's right about 10% of the time. So I was kind of surprised to see that, you know, we did have a couple guys throwing the trap, the traditional trap, and having some success. We did have some crankbait success. But for the most part, it was forward-facing and with the weather. So, yeah. Now, on the Florida swing, you know, primarily post-spawn events, and they're living right up to their billing and what should be happening. You'll notice these are much less forward facing events. It's still playing a little bit, but it's much less. So that's kind of where I'm at. You know, for three and a quarter tournaments in, that's kind of where I'm at. Some fishermen I thought would be doing better than what they are. Other fishermen are doing better than what I thought they are, but that's kind of stuff's hard to predict.
Well, I mean, you're not even touch it. You didn't even get to it.
What's that?
500 tournaments. And the homage that is being paid to this angler who revolutionized fishing and who brought so much to the sport, and how bass is following him through this last season of his career, you know, and documenting that. I think it's so cool how they're paying homage to this guy and putting a camera in his boat, you know, in every tournament, trying to get him to, you know, and paying this homage to this man, you know, who, I mean, 500 tournaments.
Mike, so if you fish 10 tournaments a year,
yeah,
you would have to fish, what, 50 years?
Yeah.
10 tournaments a year.
That's what he did.
There's no way anybody could do that now.
Well, hold up. Hold up. Trey?
He's 19.
He's 19.
Yeah, but they fish 8.
He might fish a few other tournaments.
How many tournaments did they have back in the day a year?
Yeah. I don't know.
Usually about 8.
Yeah, then what tournaments did they count? Did they count the Opens? Did they count the...
Well, he had the Classics. They didn't have Opens back then. They had
invitations. I'm just saying, are they counting, if you would count them for moving forward?
Well, I mean, he had Classics.
No, I'm saying for this Trey McKinney to hit 500, will you count the opens?
Everything by bass.
See, I don't know if you can do that because they didn't have that for...
Well, he fished everything by bass.
I think it's any bass tournament. But what's interesting about it is Trey McKinney probably will never fish another open because a lot of these guys don't. So you're literally going to fish 8 tournaments a year. It's going to be really hard. But my question was, and now that George kind of said, I do remember Bassmasters always had a lot of, like, specialty tournaments.
Trey McKinney's in 10th place for the Opens right now, Angler of the Year.
Oh, he's fishing again?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know
that. Oh, yeah.
Well, then he could.
10th place.
Because if you're looking at 9 EQs plus 8 elites a year,
yeah,
there you go.
He's getting there.
Yeah, he's going to get – but who he's knows? Getting there. He might
– That's interesting.
Well, he might retire earlier. He might not go that long. He might say, you know, I'm not going to do what Rick Clun, you know, he's, I mean, it's hard to do as an older gentleman, the body, you know how good a shape that guy's got to be in to fish 7 straight days in a row on the water. I mean, you know how,
well, he's doing it 2 weeks in a row here.
We do 3 days in a row, man, and we're out for 2 weeks. We're set up in the freaking couch, man, coming home from work, and you're like, what happened to you? Well, I fished last week for 3 days. I'm dead.
That's not exactly fair.
What?
Because.
That's the way I feel.
Yeah, but you're also working a full-time job right up to the minute you get to fish those 3 days, and then you're right back at your full-time job again.
Yeah.
So dead. It's the same difference.
Freaking dead, man. Dead. Kills you.
It's impressive.
It's impressive as hell. 500 tournaments. Rick Clun, I mean, today I was such a cool thing to watch him start that thing. And then, like George said, you know, they get to his spot. He's telling the camera crew, you know, what to do. Stay the hell out. You know, get away from my targets. You know, this guy calling all those guys. That's how competitive he still is. He is so freaking competitive that he's telling the camera, but it's get the hell away from him, you know. You're screwing up my fishing.
He had his best finish.
What are you doing?
He had his best finish in quite a long while.
Yeah.
What, at 20, Fork?
Top 25th last week.
Yeah, he did pretty good last week.
Top 25.
I thought he had a good finish in Texas.
You might have. But he had top 25 last week. Top 20, I think it was. Good for him.
If I'm fishing at his age, I'll be happy.
Oh, my God.
What he's doing.
Yeah, competitive fishing like that.
Is damn impressive.
And he's relevant. A top 20 finish. And then a good one at Fork. And, I mean, the guy's relevant. It's, you know.
He's a legend.
We had other guys that did legend, had the legend status that came in and really couldn't perform. I mean, look at Larry Nixon. He did it for 1 year, and he got out.
Well, he wanted to retire with bass.
Yeah, he got out.
He was already planning on getting out.
Yeah.
Well, I think with what impresses me the most about Rick Clun, and I was just watching a show on him, he's a thinker. And what I like the most, though, is he's not stuck in, like, think of all the years he fished, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, and now. He's not stuck in any era. He wants to be in the area that he's in, so he's always trying to learn the new stuff as best as he can to compete. That's hard for anybody to do. And, you know, that's what I think makes him special.
Yeah.
You know? I pulled a little fact check for you.
What?
About your Trey McKinney in 10th place on the Opens.
Yeah.
No.
No?
He made that one up.
No, that's... I saw it on TV this morning when I was watching.
That was last year's.
Trevor McKinney.
Oh, Trevor McKinney.
That is
no
brother?
Relation.
Oh, no.
No relation?
No.
Oh.
Hey, we got to give you that one.
I saw T. McKinney.
That
I'm
was
like,
pretty good.
I'm like,
Trevor's having a hell of a year.
Yeah.
So's Trey.
I saw T. McKinney.
It's on different circuits.
I saw T. McKinney. And I'm like, oh, shit. This kid's everywhere.
Man, I'm just going to pop a fact check in there every now and again.
Well, is he fishing a tournament, though?
No.
Did you look through the.
No.
He's not fishing. I didn't think he was, but you know what's even more impressive about him, what he's doing?
Some of those guys are fishing him.
Is
of course.
It opens.
You look of at course. all the, and I thought, I did think George was going to go here with this. The first three tournaments, I think we had two rookies win. out of three tournaments.
That doesn't surprise me as much as I thought it would.
Doesn't?
Because they're spectacular electronics anglers.
But this does surprise me. This makes me more, each tournament I get more impressed with Trey, right? Mm-hmm. Because last tournament, you know, Melikan he fell off. And he's fallen off a little bit this week. Today, that JT, I think he had 4 pounds. One or two of the other guys fell off.
Yeah.
He's just so consistent. Nothing knocks him down.
He is. I think those other guys will, you know, once you get back onto reservoirs and stuff, I think you'll see, you know, those other guys really bounce back because that's what they do. Now, let's stay on this 500. Wonder where...
are we going to call him Mr. 500?
Yeah, well, I wonder where... Who else could be close to it right now? Nobody?
I bet you there's nobody within 100 tournaments.
So, our boy from California...
Ish
Monroe. Now, that's a guy who fished, like... Now, not just bass events, but... You know, that freaking guy fished FLW Tour and Bass Tour for years. He had two boats, one on the West Coast, one on the East Coast.
Ish.
Yeah. Ish Monroe.
Yeah, but would they wouldn't count those tournaments.
No, they wouldn't count the FLWs, but that sucker's been fishing some tournaments. He fished a lot of opens. He fished a lot of all the bass for a lot of years, bass. A lot of opens and different things.
I could see him at 150.
Wonder how many he's at.
I would say Kevin would have been up there.
Kevin fished since he was 19 years old. Or 20. 19.
But that's a great question, though.
Didn't he start when he was 19?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see him. I could see him at 150.
Yeah, nowhere close to 5.
No.
No, I'm just saying maybe, you know, if he stays at it, because I think he's in his 40s.
Yeah, he's going to be, they're going to have to put one of them stair lifts that goes up the stairs.
If he would
have
kept.
Instead of the pole to get in the
boat. He was a guy.
A big lazy boy mounted on the front of the trailer.
He was a guy that if he would have stayed fishing bass the whole time, you know, I wonder where he'd have been. He fished everything for years, man. I like guys like that.
He's the ultimate grinder.
He's a serious grinder. He fished everything, and the guy that
Kenta Kamara, the ultimate grinder,
and our jet boat Johnny, the guy that runs the little aluminum boats.
Keith Poche.
I worry about the guy you just talked about, Kenta Kamara. Is that the guy that comes on there and says he drinks like 8 Red Bulls a day?
That ain't going to work.
That ain't going to work for
him. That ain't going to work. No, that ain't going to work.
Drinking Red Bulls?
8 a day.
Well, we got a guy that we've worked with that drinks. How many does he drink? Jack.
Well, I mean, he doesn't drink 8. First of all, he doesn't drink Red Bull. He drinks sugar-free Monsters.
Monster. Freaking energy drink.
And he drinks probably 4 a day.
Yeah, 4 or 5 a day.
Which is half of 8.
Well, Red Bulls are 8.4 ounces, and I think the Monsters are, like, you know, much bigger.
Yeah, he's drinking like 16-ounce Monsters.
Yeah, he drinks the big ones.
Well, I don't know. He might be drinking the big Red Bulls. I don't know.
They don't make big Red Bulls. They only make them in 8.4 ounce.
To limit your
and smaller
chance for cardiac
and
arrest.
Well, 8.4 and smaller, because I think Red Bull's like the most potent freaking thing out there. I was actually afraid to drink them things, because I was like, they gotta kill you.
I don't know.
They gotta kill you. I don't know.
I don't know. I know 8 a day is pretty good.
Yeah. All
now, right. I mean, the guys seems to be doing well with him. He's catching the shit out of fish everywhere he goes.
He doesn't sleep. He just keeps drinking Red Bull.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine that.
He can practice 96 straight hours.
I bet you when he crashes at night, man, it's like a major crash.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys.
Anything else, Nick?
No, I'm just excited about tomorrow. I'm excited
about
you know, getting the SummerSlam stuff kicked off.
I am too, man. I'm ready for SummerSlam. I'm excited for the whole 1 month long season to see all the guys signing up, and I'm excited to do the tournament again and be down there and hang out with everybody and see everybody down there. Don't forget, sign up starts tomorrow for SummerSlam tournament. $250 purchase. Jackal G Loomis, Jackal G Loomis, Shimano, and Power Pro products. $250 per boat, and there's applications to be downloaded online and or picked up here at the store, or you can drop it off at the store and do your purchasing in the shop, or you can do it online. We can't wait for it. We hope you guys get involved and try it out this year. I know there's a lot of guys on the fence last year. This year we made more room for you, so. Yeah, well, you got anything, George?
I'm 100% ready to watch GDP drop the hammer on him tomorrow.
I am too. Good luck.
Getting up early.
Good luck to GDP.
And getting ready. Live mix starts at 7.
Oh, I got say congratulations to Jake Glusick. Pete Glusick's son started his high school tournament career in Jersey, and him and his partner weighed, I think his partner's name's Josh Pop. I hope I don't get it wrong. I think it was Josh, but Jake and Josh, they weighed 20 pounds for their first tournament, over 20 pounds. So congratulations to those guys. And
spectacular.
I think that's in a lake in New Jersey, which is tough fishing. And Jake caught the big one on a glide bait and a chatterbait, and they caught him on chatterbait. So.
I imagine the dean was quite proud to tell you that story.
The dean called me, and first thing out of his mouth is, "Man, I'm a proud dad. I got to tell somebody. I got to talk to somebody." So we talked on the phone about that, and he was just blabbering, man. It was just flowing out of him. So congratulations. And you know, another thing was Pete was the captain, and he said he just watched this whole thing happen, and these kids were just making these casts and making these calling shots and doing all this stuff. And
I can see Pete sitting behind the steering wheel with that big freaking grin.
Yeah.
Just proud as a peacock.
Yeah, and it was.
That's awesome.
So congratulations That's to awesome. Him. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for stopping by, and we'll see you at the next Tackle Shop Live.
Oh, right there, you took my breath away. Oh, young and pretty, was it just a dream? The next day, you called me up. You told me I'm your little buttercup. You came over and you fell into my arms. Well, I know what I feel. Please tell me